I'm Shamita Basu, and we're back with The Takeaway. In some cities across the country, maternity wards are disappearing in Black neighborhoods. Experts call these areas maternity care deserts.
Those are areas where women have limited access to maternity care services, such as prenatal care or maternity wards, or they have none at all.
Now, many are worried that as the coronavirus pandemic continues, these deserts could become a truly nationwide trend. Kelly Glass recently wrote about this for the New York Times. She's a freelance journalist who reports on the intersections of parenting, health, and race. Here's what Kelly told me about why hospitals are closing their maternity wards.
It's something that we saw with rural hospitals. I think one thing that we have to remember is that hospitals are businesses, and I think we don't talk about that enough, but the fact of the matter is they want to make a profit. Maternity wards tend to not be as profitable as other areas of hospitals. So when things need to get cut, those are often on the chopping block first.
You mentioned rural areas being a place where this happens a lot, but I understand also from your reporting and others that maternity wards in Black communities are often among the first things to go when slashing hospital budgets. Why is that happening?
We have the data on rural hospitals because that's what has been previously looked at. But maternity wards and even hospitals closing in Black neighborhoods has been something that's sort of, I guess, quietly under the scene, been going on for a while. So in the case of Chicago in particular, we saw 3 maternity wards close within the last year. And again, hospitals are businesses. So we're talking money. We're talking prioritizing who gets care, unfortunately. So in this case, when St. Bernard's closed, they announced the closure as out of necessity to accommodate COVID-19 patients. So decisions were made, people were moved, and the people who ended up being displaced, you know, they're often Black people in Black neighborhoods.
And are we seeing that happen a lot right now? Is COVID-19 playing a role in the shuttering of these types of wards?
The data we have on that is like, it's really not there. Nobody is keeping very good track of this at all. But we saw this in Washington, D.C., where several hospitals and maternity wards closed. We saw it in Philadelphia, where, again, several hospitals and maternity wards closed. So we know what's happening. We know what's been happening in cities. And we know that the coronavirus pandemic stands to worsen it. Because if there is a need for space in cities, you know, decisions are going to be made. I guess the major concern there is that we become aware of it sooner rather than later, so that we stop it and mitigate it before it has devastating effects on, you know, the Black community.
What do we know about how this is affecting health outcomes for Black mothers in these so-called deserts?
We know that the maternal mortality rate in this country is tragic. It's the highest of any developed nation. So we have that going on. We know that Black women basically bear the brunt of that high maternal mortality rate. And we know that when Black women do not have a few things going on, so we need continuity of care. They need to have ongoing relationships with the care team that they know is going to take care of them. They need to have a care team that is culturally competent. So in community hospitals such as St. Bernard Hospital in Chicago, which I discuss in this piece, they basically reimagine healthcare to fit the needs of their population. And we do know from research that social determinants are very important. You cannot ignore race. You cannot ignore gender, socioeconomic status. You cannot ignore the type of community someone lives in when you give them care. So considering that we cannot do this, you know, I treat everybody the same approach to healthcare that I think has been prevalent, Black birthing people, they need more of a community-based approach than that. And when they don't get that, unfortunately, we see deaths go up. We see morbidity and injury and birth trauma go up for that population.
I have some numbers here in front of me. I just want to read them for you and also ask you to sort of respond to them and talk about how your reporting has also supported these. But according to the Centers for Disease Control, Black women in the United States are 3 to 4 times more likely to die of pregnancy-related complications than white women. And even in studies that compared Black women and white women who had the same common medical complications around pregnancy, Black women were still more likely to die than their white counterparts. And this disparity, I know I'm based in New York. It's even higher in New York City.
Yeah.
What are some of the reasons for these disparate maternal health outcomes?
There's very real implicit bias that's going on at the hospital level. Unfortunately, that factors into how these women are getting care. Black women simply do not feel listened to by their doctors. And when that happens, a lot of things get overlooked. A lot of these deaths are preventable, and a lot of them probably could be prevented if Black women felt listened to, if they were listened to by the care team at the hospital. You have that going on. You also have this more physiological thing going on where we know that the chronic stress of racism has dire effects on a woman's body. So you have Black women who are carrying this chronic stress in our wombs, basically. It makes pregnancy more complicated oftentimes. If we're really, really honest about it, racism is at the root of this.
When you talk about Black women not feeling listened to by their doctors, I'm assuming there you mean by their doctors who are not of the same race.
Correct.
So what do we know about what's happening in hospitals where there are more providers of color, or at the very least, ones who are more culturally competent? What happens in those cases? What happens especially for Black mothers?
There was a piece in the journal Pediatrics recently showed that Black NICU babies received better care in what would be considered a poor quality NICU or hospital. And they were considered poor quality because those hospitals are in majority Black neighborhoods. So we know that Black women and Black babies have better outcomes when they have Black doctors.
Are there any ways in which this particular crisis, the pandemic that we're all experiencing, can affect maternal health outcomes for Black women in particular?
I think our healthcare system was already overwhelmed, already had its structural faults, but I do think that the coronavirus pandemic has highlighted and maybe even exaggerated some of those faults. And when you have a system that is overwhelmed, decisions are made, people are prioritized and people are under prioritized. And often that means Black women, that means Black people in general. It's safe to say that if there is not some active awareness about this being a possibility and some solutions in place to make sure that we have an equitable approach to fixing these faults, that we could stand to see this maternal mortality rate, especially among Black women, rise. What I do hope comes out of this is that we finally realize that we don't need to wait until a public health crisis becomes a public health crisis to start taking action, that the sooner the better.
So it sounds like you're saying that there is data to support that having doctors who are Black, nurses who are Black, providers who are Black, actually makes a big difference on the health outcomes of a Black mother and her child. What are some other ways to mitigate the maternal health disparities, both in the short term and in the long term?
There are a lot of things that need to happen. It's hard to find a one-size-fits-all approach, but there are some things. For example, we tend to have a I care for everyone the same attitude in healthcare, and we don't need to do that. What we need to do is we need to care for everyone based on their needs, based on their social determinants of health, and that education needs to happen at the medical school level. So when they're teaching doctors, make that a real part of the curriculum. Make sure that they're learning those things, learning about the different populations they might work with, learning about what their different needs are. If they have something else going on at home, that it is a part of their OB care to talk to their doctor about it, and it makes a big difference. I mean, imagine simple things like not having transportation to your appointment. Now at my OB's office, if I cancel an appointment, there's not a consideration that maybe I just didn't have a way to get there and have a hospital staff or a clinic staff call me up and say, hey, can I help you arrange transportation? Reimagining healthcare altogether to make sure that we're not ignoring these very, very important social determinants of health, I think is going to be key. I mean, of course, we cannot erase racism, but we can mitigate its effects with those things. And I think we need to start thinking that way.
And how might doulas or midwives help to fill in the gaps here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think doulas and midwives are a huge part of the solution. I think that one of the barriers with that is, again, policy. For example, in Illinois, in the state I'm in, there are about 10 certified nurse midwives in the entire state, and CPM certified professional midwives, which is a different kind of credential, are not recognized at all. We do not allow doulas to be paid with Medicaid, as most states do. I think right now only 2 states allow doulas to be paid with Medicaid. So We have those as real options if only they were more accessible. And we need the policy to make them more accessible. What I hope comes out of this is that we again say, you know, options for birthing people are important. So not just hospital births, but yes, home births are a real option. Doula attended births, midwife attended births in hospitals, in birthing centers. So more options, but also more access, obviously, to make those options real.
Kelly Glass is a freelance journalist who reports on the intersections of parenting, health, and race. Kelly, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.